Hello and welcome to the Astra Economic Week in Review. My name is John Eckstein. I'm the Chief Investment Officer of Astra Investment Management. I'm joined today by my friend and colleague, Nick Porter. Nick, hello.
Hey, John.
We're recording on Thursday, the 24th, in the afternoon. And so sort of the biggest thing that's happened, obviously, is Russia's invasion of Ukraine. And that has had a sort of knee-jerk effect on the U.S. stock markets, European markets. It's not clear what the longer-term result is going to be. I guess I think that primarily the result is going to be adding to our inflation slash supply chain woes. I guess, you know, you can make an argument that's going to be somewhat lower economic growth just on a general sort of efficiency argument. Things are just sort of harder to do than they were yesterday. You have any thoughts about macroeconomic implications of the current war?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to be pretty muted as far as the U.S. side goes for output. Keep in mind, Russia is quite a small economy, about 2% of the global output. So not much harm done there, but where things could really start to show up to everyday Americans is, of course, in commodity prices, things like oil, things like natural gas. And that will, as you've said, feed into the inflation story and make the Fed's job just that much harder.
Yes, there could be secondary effects too. Like, it's not hard to imagine this throwing sort of more severe sanctions, throwing Europe into a slowdown or even a recession that would have a follow-on effect the U.S. That's, I guess, a possibility too.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I mean, Europe is mostly going to be bearing the brunt of sanctions, which is why you've sort of seen them maybe drag their feet a little bit on certain sectors. And that certainly, to the extent that Europe slows down, could have an impact on the United States, perhaps a little bit further down the road.
Yeah, and so like the primary thing would be energy. The natural gas, I mean, we are sending a reasonable amount of natural gas to Europe these days. There's a huge price differential. We can't send much more because we don't have any more tankers to send it in. Like, there's a bunch of tankers being built this year, so some more capacity would go online, but still, you know, 10% to 11 to 12% maybe, if things go great in terms of our total natural gas output, can go to Europe. And our oil isn't all substitutable for the type of oil they produce in Russia. So it's not clear all the exact effects that's going to happen there either. Meanwhile, in the United States, I'm going to say that, you know, sort of like my nutshell view of the economy is that there was a slowdown in January. That slowdown has abated. You can see that on a bunch of weekly data. And we are back to a pretty decent rate of growth, which I expect to see reflected in the payrolls next week. What's your nutshell view of the economy, Nick?
Yeah, agreed. I mean, I think you definitely saw the softening in data from Omicron and Omicron-related policy measures in January. And we've seen in the most recent data that has certainly dissipated. You know, I still think my long-term or medium-term outlook for the U.S. economy is some sort of return towards trend growth, particularly as the Fed picks up policy measures.
Yeah, I guess I was thinking specifically in terms of the, you know, sort of the bullish camp. The TSA security clearances are back up to basically as high as they've been to since the pandemic began after a big drop. Same thing with the open table seated dinings. Those are both strong. It is worth mentioning, though, that we do see maybe a little bit of a hint of weakness in the mortgage applications to purchase. That might be a little bit weaker than you'd expect. And that could be an early effect of rising interest rates as the market's done the Fed's job for it and bumped up interest rates, you know, 100 to 200 basis points, depending on where you are.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely right. I mean, the market doesn't wait for the Fed to actually raise rates, right?
No.
They sort of look ahead to what the Fed's saying they're going to do, and that's been reflected in mortgage rates.
It has. But we did get a little bit more inflation news since last time we talked. What happened in PPI, Nick?
You know, John, I don't know. You ask yourself that question.
Maybe you don't think about that. You want to punch up the WECO and then tell me what happened in PPI?
I actually don't really follow PPI at all. Hold on. So in PPI, we actually saw quite a strong number. The survey was for 0.5% month over month in the final demand figure, and it actually grew by 1%. So that sort of continues this narrative that we're talking about a return to strong growth in the US.
Yeah, and so in year on year, the final demand number was 9.7% growth in prices year on year. That's a lot, and it's more than it was expected. Once you get rid of food, energy, it's still a rise of 8.3% year on year. And that is a lot. And I think that is feeding into, as we've been saying, the surprisingly soft consumer sentiment or consumer confidence numbers, which are, you know, I read as weak across the board and much weaker than we should have for such a tight labor market. And we get a little bit more news on that later in the month. But I mean, I have to think that the inflation numbers is what's causing the outsized weakness. Though it's possible there's something else that I'm not seeing sort of behind that weakness.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, wage growth has certainly been strong in nominal terms, but obviously we still had pretty steeply negative real wage growth. And there's some nuance to those numbers. You've really seen stronger wage growth at the lower end of wage earners. But ultimately, I think people are feeling the pain at the pump and when they go to the grocery store and things like that. And that certainly flows through directly to consumer confidence.
It does. It does. I mean, I do think that there's some sort of an additional sourness in the economy right now, or in the country right now, that I don't totally understand. But we will see if that clarifies. One other thing to mention, I think, is so one of the things that was weak last month was the purchasing managers surveys. So there's two different series of those. There's the ones produced by the Institute for Supply Management, and there's ones produced by a firm called Market. The Market ones, actually, they release a preliminary number early. So we have preliminary February numbers already. And the manufacturing number was a tick better and quite strong. The services sector improved a lot. It improved from 51, which is pretty close to, you know, even people saying things are about the same as last month, to back up to 56.7. Improved a lot more than expected, and basically back to where it was before Omicron. And so, again, I feel like the Omicron incident has passed as far as spending and the economy is concerned.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. And I think there are also some interesting numbers behind the number there. You saw some sign of supplier deliveries improving a little bit. And you're still seeing companies really able to pass along these prices to consumers as well.
Yeah. It's true. Corporate profits are still, the corporate profits that you get for the national income and product accounts are a little delayed. They're still quite high, basically the highest ever. And companies, you hear that on the earnings calls that they're saying, you know, we're able to pass these prices along to our consumers and they're just going to keep doing it until they can't, right? Like they're profit maximizing entities are literally going to maximize how much profit they make. That's their whole point.
Right.
So I think we will leave it there. And then my partner, Rob Stein, and I will be back on Friday Friday, the 4th of March, to talk about the payroll numbers and bring up the date on that. In the meantime, if you want more economic news, you can check out the Aster blog at AsterIM. That's AsterInvestmentManagement.com. You can download the Aster Research app or reach out to your Aster sales representative, and we will get you all the economic news that you need. Thanks, Nick.
Thanks, John.